Welcome back to the Western Bowhunter Podcast with your host, South Cox of Stalker Stick Bows.
Welcome back to the Western Bowhunter Podcast. This is South Cox. We've got another Patrick McManus read this morning. We are knee-deep in lockdown on the coronavirus here currently, so probably a good time to catch up on some podcast reads. I've been recording some episodes, and we've got a bunch in the bank, so we'll be getting them out to you guys. We're going to kind of go on a schedule of Patrick McManus, the Mitten book, One with the Wilderness, and then a regular podcast guest. So kind of keep a rotation going like that. And we've got quite a few regular interviews already recorded. So now I just have to catch up on the McManus and Mitten reads. So we'll keep that that going. This one is from The Good Samaritan Strikes Again, and I'm not much of a bird hunter myself, but I've run into chukar while I've been, you know, deer hunting in the past or hiking, and they're beautiful birds, and I have talked to several friends that I have that are avid bird hunters, avid chukar hunters, and they kind of I'm sure going to relate to these stories. I've read one Patrick McManus chukar story before. I don't remember if it's this one or not. But I was dying laughing when I read it, and I could certainly relate to, you know, my experiences with chukar, and I can't imagine hunting them. It would be, man, what an endeavor, because they're, where I've seen them, there's not a lot of them, and so I can only imagine, you know, covering miles and miles of terrain only to have these things blow out and fly to the bottom of the mountain on you, and then, you know, all that exercise there, and maybe not even a shot opportunity. So here we go with Chukar Madness, again, from The Good Samaritan Strikes Again. You can't imagine how thrilled I was when my boss phoned from New York and asked me to guide him on a chukar hunt in the wilds of Oregon. Not only would I have the opportunity once again to practice my guiding skills, but I would be able to impress an important outdoor editor, one Claire Conley, with my considerable knowledge of woodcraft. "One more thing," Conley said. "I'll be bringing my son, Ted. He just graduated from college and has a break before he starts law school. He's never hunted in the West before, and I thought this would make a nice little vacation for him." "Fine," I said. I was a little surprised that Conley wanted to hunt chukars. I'd hunted chukars for 20 years and more, and still nursed the hope of someday shooting one. They are a mean and sadistic bird. A few decades ago, a band of outlaw chukars was run out of Asia Minor and sneaked into this country. They took up homesteads on the steepest, driest, rockiest country they could find in the West and began to multiply and even add and divide. They're smart. Pretty soon, hunters, not knowing any better, started hunting them. Many were crippled and some even killed, and occasionally one of them even got a shot at a chukar. It's a chukar standard practice to lure the hunter up a steep incline by milling about in full view, giving him the impression that they have no more wits about them than a flock of chickens. The hunter starts up the hill after them. When he is almost in shooting range, they begin running uphill. The hunter runs after them. The head chukar sets the pace. "Slow up a bit, folks," he tells the others. "The hunter is getting discouraged. Let him close the gap by another 10 feet. Good. Now pick up the pace." In this way, the hunter is teased into running at full tilt all the way to the top of a steep, rocky, treacherous mountain in the belief that the next agonizing step will at last bring him into shooting range. If he stumbles and falls, the chukars stop and wait for him to get up, dangling the carrot of hope before his eyes to lure him on. Then they take off again. When the chukar reaches the top of the mountain, they leap into the air and glide back to the bottom, doing their chukar chuckle as they pass over the tattered remains of the hunter, whose heart and lungs have burst, but who still blasts vainly away at the descending flock. That is the essence of chukar hunting. Only a madman would take up as a sport. "So ready for a little chukar hunting, are you?" I greeted Conley at the airport. "Am I ever," Conley said. "I live from one year to the next to hunt chukars." "Yeah, me too," I said. "Nothing I enjoy more than chukar hunting." Conley introduced me to Ted, a tall, handsome young man who seemed perfectly sane. I noticed that the mention of the word chukar did not bring a maniacal glint to his eyes, as it did to his father's. This was a good sign. It seemed likely that Ted and I could lounge about the car and swap stories while the senior Conley chased chukars up the mountain. The hunt started off badly. Before long, we were lost and found ourselves climbing aimlessly up steep inclines. Conley began ranting about my sense of direction and guiding expertise. "Surely you've been lost before," I countered. "Yeah, but not in an airport parking garage," Conley shouted, dragging his duffel bag and gun case up a flight of stairs. "Look for a red Jeep Cherokee," I directed. "It's got to be here someplace." "Half the cars are red Jeep Cherokees." "I know," I said. "That's why you need a guide. Without me, you'd never find the right car." Scarcely an hour later, the car was found, and we were zipping down the highway toward Oregon. Conley relaxed into a mellow mood and began to talk hunting. Ted snoozed sensibly in the back seat. "I read about this frog in Africa or someplace," Conley said. "It wakes up only about 2 months a year. It eats, drinks, and mates almost continuously for 2 months and then goes back to sleep. Sort of the ideal life, if you ask me." "If you're a frog," I said. "Shut up and listen," Conley said. "That frog has given me an idea. I've been trying to find a way to work more chukar hunting into my life, and I think I've got it. Cryogenics." "Terrific idea, boss," I said. "I wish I had thought of it myself." The man was truly mad. "Just as I expected, you've never heard of cryogenics. What it is, you get yourself quick frozen, and years and even centuries later, you get thawed out and you're just as good as new when you were first frozen. Yeah, except for a little freezer burn. Ha! Can the sarcasm. So my plan is this. I get myself frozen right at the end of chukar season. The only way to get in shape for hunting chukars is by hunting chukars, and that's when I'd be in top shape. Then I get thawed out just before the next chukar season opens. That way I've used up only a couple of months of my life doing what I love to do, hunting chukars. I could work 6 chukar seasons into what otherwise would amount to a single year of life. Gee, boss, maybe I could help you out, I said. I could be in charge of thawing you out just before each new chukar season. No, you're too absent-minded. I could be frozen for years before you'd remember to thaw me out. I'm having some kind of computer set to do the thawing. Maybe we could try it out with me just the first time and see how it works. Absolutely not. Don't even think of it. Anyway, I get thawed out and I ask around how the chukar population is that year. If it's down, I just get frozen up back up until the next year. Maybe I even have my dog frozen with me. He'd like that, I'm sure, I said. While you're at it, why don't you have a few coveys of chukar frozen right along with you? No, that wouldn't be sporting. You have to leave the element of chance in hunting, otherwise it's no good. So why not let me be in charge of thawing you out? There's such a thing as too much chance, Conley growled. Where are we, anyway? Beats me, I said. I was concentrating on driving. We eventually arrived at the hunting ground, all of it pretty much vertical and covered with loose rock, slick grass, squatty brush, and irritable rattlesnakes. Beautiful, cried Conley. Did you ever see anything more beautiful? This is the best chukar country I've ever seen. From now on, we'll have to hunt this every year. Is that great or what? Great, I said, even though it was mostly what. We bivouacked that night in a Pendleton hotel and set out before dawn on our first hunt, which started off badly. I know I parked it around here someplace, I explained, but maybe it was in a similar parking lot on the other side of the hotel. Look for a red Jeep Cherokee. Ye gods! By the time we reached the hunting grounds, dawn had not only cracked but oozed down into the narrow creek bottom, where sensible men could hunt pheasants and quail to their heart's content without so much as breaking into a sweat. Above us rose high, steep, loaf-shaped mountains from which drifted down the sardonic chuckles of chuckers. "Just listen to that," Conley said. "Music to my ears, and there's a flock of them." I glanced up. Sure enough, on a rocky ledge 50 yards up the mountain, an insolent mob of chuckers stared down on us. We leaped out of the car and charged up the grade after them. It was Conley's theory, as yet unproven, that if you charge madly at chuckers, they will be startled into flight and you can shoot them in a sportsmanlike manner. The chuckers know this. The mob milled about until we were well within shooting range. Then the head chucker said, "Okay, guys, we've got them on the run. Remember, nobody flies, right? They're almost here. Now, everybody run uphill." We chased the chuckers all the way to the top of the mountain. Then they leaped into the air and soared down to the ledge on the next mountain over. Conley and Ted watched them sail away while I beat on my chest with a large rock in an effort to get one more of those vital functions operating again. "Gosh, Dad, they got away," Ted said, his tone of surprise confirming that he had never before hunted chuckers. "That's what they think," Conley said, chortling. "I saw right where they landed. What we'll do, I'll walk straight down this mountain and come up below. Ted, you swing around over that high saddle and come in from the right. Pat, you go back down the road, climb halfway up that mountain and come in from the left. We'll have them surrounded." "But won't they just run to the top of that mountain?" Ted said. "If they try to run, we'll charge them and make them fly." "Gee, I don't know about this chucker hunting," Ted said, wiping his face with his sleeve. "You'll catch on to it," Conley said. "It takes a while to get in shape for chucker hunting. That's when it gets to be great fun. You'll see." Lies. All lies, I thought. You wouldn't think a man would lie to his own son unless it was about something important, like fishing. Ted obviously was sane, sensible young fellow, displaying a wisdom well beyond his years. With both Ted and me aware that chucker hunting was one of the more severe forms of insanity, that would mean we could outvote the senior Conley 2-1 and go hunt flatland birds instead. The difficulty would be getting the decision to put up a vote. Conley and Ted strode off to surround the chuckers, and I plodded back down the mountain. When I got to the Jeep, I dug into the cooler and grabbed an ice-cold cola and a sandwich. Then I drove up a game trail to the foot of the next mountain. I got out and struggled 50 yards or so uphill until I found a soft rock unoccupied by a rattlesnake and sat down behind a bush to enjoy a little nourishment and refreshment. Then I settled back for a nap. This was my preferred method of hunting chuckers. Scarcely had I tilted my hat over my eyes, however, when two shots rang out above me on the mountain. They were followed by two more, only farther away. Shots are always a bad sign when you're engaged in my preferred method of chucker hunting. Presently, I saw Conley striding down the mountain, a big smile on his face. I leaped up and pretended to be striding in from a different direction. "Any luck?" I called. "Got a double," he yelled back. So, just the kind of luck I'd expected. Bad. There'd be no stopping Conley now. Then Ted came slogging down off the mountain. He was frowning. Good, a sliver of hope remained. But as Ted approached, a big grin spread across his face. He reached into his game bag and pulled out a chucker. What a disaster! Even from several yards away, I could detect the glint of chucker madness in his eyes. It had run in this family. Now I was doomed to have chucker hunting for a whole week. And the next year, and the year after that, forever. "Boss," I said, "let's discuss this cryogenics idea of yours some more. I like it. You and Ted and your dog get frozen, see, and I thaw you out just before chucker season. I could mark it on my calendar. How does that sound? My marking it on the calendar. Terrible. Now, where did you park the car? I heard you driving it. I'm dying for an ice-cold soda." "Well, it's right over, is that north or east? Let's see. I think I came up that trail, but it may be the one over there." All right. That was definitely a different chucker story than I had remembered. So maybe we'll be able to dig up the other one in the future here. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch up with you guys down the road.
If you have a question, topic, or guest that you'd like to hear about, log on to iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Rate the podcast, and in the review, leave your question, topic, or guest suggestion. Any questions posted will be answered at the beginning of the next recorded podcast. Topics and guest suggestions will be considered and pursued. Additionally, the rating will help the podcast grow. You can further support the podcast by logging on to the Stalker Stickbows website and purchasing a Western Bowhunter podcast t-shirt or window sticker from the Stalker store. Thanks for your support. I've gone down for-